Riviera Radio. Business.
Henke.
Good morning, Bobby. Billy Bob.
$15,665.24.
What is that for?
Come on, you're the financial whiz kid.
15,000, go on.
$15,665.24 this morning.
I don't know what that is for. Bitcoin?
Yeah.
Okay. It's gone up a lot this year, actually, hasn't it?
Craig will be able to afford a new set of Nashes at this rate, won't he?
May well do.
Right, okay. Markets continue to go up. Some reticence on the part of investors in New York yesterday, putting more money back into tech and coronavirus cases spiralling, but they're still hanging on to the hopes for this pandemic, really.
I think it's a balancing act for investors at the moment. Quite frankly, they're trying to look through the near-term risks of an accelerating virus to the vaccine horizon. So they're trying to figure out how to be positioned for that. Yesterday, we did see an element of rebalancing back into giant tech companies, which rallied as they shift back into that safety trade that has been, of course, powering gains during the course of this year. Amid speculation, the economic recovery will be slow as the second wave of the virus accelerates, and a vaccine will take some time to be made and distributed. In Europe yesterday, Stock 600 was up 1.1%, S&P 500 was up 0.7%, NASDAQ was up 2% yesterday, Amazon shares surging, Zoom bouncing back after weakness earlier this week. So it's, as I say, continuing to play out along those lines. I think markets do need to be realistic around the speed and the progress of the vaccine and, of course, potential logistical challenges associated with it. Opening calls on the European bourses looking weaker this morning. Currently calling FTSE down 62 points. DAX over in Frankfurt down 90 points. CAC 40 in Paris off 42 points.
Well, that's a word with my broker.
Yes.
Well, when the markets were losing ground the week before last, it was tumbling like a stone, my portfolio. And then the CAC put on 7.5% in one day, and it hasn't come back to nearly as much as it was before it went down.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. Perhaps you should be with a better bank. That's all I can say.
I don't know about that.
One where your friends are.
Signs of disruption in Downing Street, Henk.
Yes, it's been an interesting 24 hours for the Prime Minister and some of his chief aides in relation to that. The expectation was that there would be a promotion in the offing that would see one of them promoted to become chief of staff, but it's thought, sources close to the Prime Minister decided that's not the way to
go.
His
girlfriend, you mean?
Well, I didn't want to say that. But anyway, so we wait to see how it's going to play out. The reality is that I think there's a feeling that number 10 has not been organised in an efficient manner to deal with the issues that it's been faced with, and they've been on emergency mode for some period of time. But reorganisation is required. But who the people are to do that, of course, will be determined by the Prime Minister.
Can't get much closer to Boris Johnson than Carrie Simmons, really, can you?
It's not for me to say. I don't know what goes on behind the curtains of number 10.
But you think he's having a bit of a rethink now that Joe Biden is president-elect? Because, we've spoken about the chance of a trade deal before, and Biden seems to think he's back in the queue unless he sticks to the Good Friday Agreement.
I think there's been some firefighting taking place at the heart of the UK government, as there have been with administrations around the world, and they're trying to understand perhaps some of the longer-term objectives and how they're going to reflect in future policy decisions and who are the people to implement those. So perhaps that's the process that we're going through. Inevitably, that's the case as you see new leaders being shown into office in other countries, and the relationship changes a little bit, and you have to adapt to it.
Well, in terms of big fish in Downing Street, Lee Kane was among the biggest. I mean, a key voter of Vote Leave, and he's really risen through the ranks in the last few years, and also a fairly close ally of Dominic Cummings. So maybe a lot of Tory MPs are calling for a rethink, so maybe we'll see a bit of a reshuffle.
Well, they, of course, held on to Cummings after the controversial elements around did he or didn't he break the pandemic containment rules. So he's certainly seen as required. And as you say, Mr. Kane, it's been an interesting 24 hours because over the course, a couple of days, certainly the Sunday papers were this idea that he was going to be promoted and that he was going to be leading the way in terms of the senior officials, top three senior officials, that everything that the Prime Minister would hear and would be discussed would go through these officials. And then very soon after that he's left Downing Street altogether.
They need us more than we need them. Meanwhile, the EU is getting close to agreeing a budget and sourcing out the recovery fund.
Yeah, EU negotiators have apparently reached a deal on the bloc's long-term spending plan, should help officials finalise the €1.8 trillion budget along with the stimulus agreements. Actually, the European recovery plan, that's probably the most important element this time around. Vital, of course, for future growth prospects for the bloc. The deal allows the Commission to raise €750 billion in mutualised debt. Needs to be finally approved by EU lawmakers and government. Also has to be ratified by national parliaments. But once agreed, disbursements from the recovery fund are likely to take place twice a year. Will be linked to milestones to prove that countries are progressing with their reforms and investments. 10% of the fund is expected to be paid out in the first half of 2021. European Commission estimates the fund will boost growth by 2% in coming years.
Pretty big hole to fill with Britain no longer being a contributor though, so who's picking up the slack, Germany and France?
You would imagine that there will be a hole there coming through, and they will need to pick that up quite significantly. So it's all about making sure that those funds are channeled in the correct way and making sure there's accountability for the money that has been spent.
Did you get involved in Double 11 yesterday?
In Double 11? You're really confusing me this morning. What is Double 11?
Singles Day.
Oh, no, I didn't get
11-11, Double 11.
Okay, no, I knew. I was talking about remembrance.
Come on, wakey, honestly.
But not Singles Day. Singles Day is the biggest sales event in the world, though. This is, of course, in China, eclipsing Black Friday, Cyber Monday in the United States. It's also found its way to Europe in recent years. This year's extravaganza spanned over 4 days. E-commerce giant Alibaba said orders as of last night exceeded $70 billion as lockdown-weary customers splashed out on 16 million discounted goods. To put it in some sort of context, 20 times as many orders by value went through Alibaba compared to Amazon's two-day Prime Day sale last month. As well as offering price cuts, shoppers play mobile games for deals and entertained by top name music performers. This year's apparently been strong demand for luxury goods. Lots of Chinese tourists who would normally buy luxury goods overseas haven't been able to travel, so apparently been picking those up at home. I think if you look at the numbers, they'll be viewed as further evidence of China's V-shaped recovery, but also the transition to a domestically led economy.
So wondering if anyone's got any money left to spend.
It's true. Some people are doing all right.
Now, I know you're struggling a bit today because, you know, you're rearranging the living room furniture at home, you know, making it childproof so you can settle down with a glass of Dom Pomeroy and Monte Cristo to watch the golf.
Well, I tell you, normally Mrs. Potts very kindly sets up a master's household for us here. So when I normally drive home from work, there's master's signage saying welcome to the, you know, 2020 masters. And then there's signs to the viewing gallery, the hospitality tent. There's normally a sign with a rolling buffet that takes place. But I don't know if it's going to happen this time around.
You're not one of those people who plasters the outside of his house with Christmas lights, are you?
Oh, no, I don't like that, to be honest. Very discreet in my part of the world for that.
Foreign exchanges, please.
Pound against the dollar coming in at 131.5. Euro dollar coming in at 117. €1.12 for your British pound this morning.
You're not going to phone in sick tomorrow, are you?
Not going to phone in sick tomorrow. I think the course is going to play very soft. It's going to be a very, very different type of Masters. No patrons there. Very soft course. The greens are sub-aired, so I think they'll probably be all right. But it's going to be an interesting battle down in Augusta over the course of the next few days.
Well, they're actually having some thunderstorms at the moment, so I hope it doesn't interrupt play.
The weather forecast is pretty poor. 70% chance of rain today. I think 30-40% over the course of the next 3 days. So that could play into the mix as well. Bryson DeChambeau, like me, put on a lot of weight and is fighting fit, ready for action.
Blimey. Well, if Uncle Barclay ever gives you your marching orders, you can get a job on the Golfing Channel.
No problems there. I'd be happy for that.
Talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good day.
Hang Potts and Barclays.